Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talking Simpsons One Piece special. And we are on the cruise. And who is here with me today?
Just read the first volume, Henry Gilbert.
What a poser. Who else is here today?
Searching for the All Blue, Maddie Kopp.
Yes, and so I don't believe you've heard her on a podcast yet, but Maddie is here in town, and we had her on to record a What a Cartoon with us. But I also knew that she'd be perfect for a One Piece thing. And I'm working without a net here, folks. I have no notes, but we need to talk about One Piece on this network here because this is the biggest anime of all time. I'm saying it here first. And I went to Japan recently. I did a lot of anime-related things and animation-related things. So this is not off-topic for our network. And I wanted to talk about One Piece, and Maddie's here, so it's the perfect time. And I think I fully justified this by now. But Maddie and I, we met at our second live show. And I think the first thing you told me was, thank you so much for saying One Piece is the greatest manga of all time.
Yeah.
And then we talked a lot about One Piece. So immediately she showed me all of her cards, and I knew she was way into One Piece. But Maddie, what is your relationship with One Piece? And maybe you can explain a little bit about what it is.
Yeah. So personally, I first got into it when they started bringing Shonen Jump to America, and they were doing it as like kind of like a monthly thing. And I never knew what it was. And I think they had I think Goku was on the front of it. So I was like, oh, cool. What's this thing? And so then I just kind of ended up reading it through that. And so I only kind of got maybe, 40 chapters in or whatever, like as many years as I was subscribed to that, because it was only monthly. And then it was kind of like I was off of it for a long time, because I was always kind of, I was afraid to get back into it because I knew it would kind of consume my being. But then in the past couple years, I finally decided, like, no, I'm going to do it. And so I read up, I got all caught up. And it's just, to me, I think it's the best manga ever written.
And yes, and it is still huge. So to go into some more details about the series, it started as a manga, which is a comic. And in case you don't know, and it's possible you don't, in anime, the world of Japanese animation, they usually adapt comics very literally after they have been in production for a few years. So you get two different versions of the same story. And so the manga for One Piece, it started in 1997 by Eiichiro Oda. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
And that's been going on since 1997 with no breaks. So
one break, like
it just celebrated its 20th year.
It's the breaks he'll take like a week off every once in a while, but it's like completely consistent.
That is amazing to me. For a perspective, like Akira Toriyama, he did Dragon Ball straight for like a decade, and then he stopped. Like he doesn't do weekly comics anymore. He didn't resume a new one. And same with like Rumiko Takahashi is one of my favorite mangakas ever. She's great, but she would do like a 5-year to 10-year run on something, then take a hiatus, and then start a new 5 to 10 year run.
Yeah, no, and Bob and I were talking about Hunter x Hunter last night, so it's like, it's really unusual to have this kind of consistency that he does.
Yes, and he started to go into more detail, I think it started as a one-off in Shonen Jump, which is the one of the mega Japanese manga magazine. So again, more detail, and it's possible you don't know, but in Japan, the superior comics country, I will say, just because of how they distribute comics, comics come in like compilation magazines for the most part. Like the chapters come in a compilation installments. So Shonen Jump is basically a phone book sized compilation of series that comes out every week. Weekly Shonen Jump. If you want to know more about how comics are made and how what it takes to get into Shonen Jump and things like that, the comic Bakuman and the anime Bakuman is very good because it's about getting into Shonen Jump by people who did that themselves. Yeah. It's really good.
It's by the creators of Death Note, then doing a slightly autobiographical comic, but it was hugely eye-opening to me about the power an editor wields over it, how hard it is to break in, the importance of the popularity polls, and how you're very poor and hyper overworked until you have a real hit in an anime.
But even still, I mean, if you look at Oda works, I mean, that's all he does. That's his entire being. So,
and it helps that One Piece started. So to go back to Shonen Jump, it started as a one-off, I believe, called Romance Dawn, where it was sort of the pilot for One Piece.
Yeah.
And that maybe it was voted into publication, or maybe the editor saw something in him, but he did that when he was 21. When he was 22, One Piece started. He's been working on that for the past 20 2 years. So that's been his entire adult life, is making One Piece, which is why he still has so much energy. Like, Akira Toriyama did a manga for like years before Dragon Ball, but Oda started with One Piece. I believe he was like an assistant on Rurouni Kenshin before then or something like that. But we don't talk about that guy. But,
but by comparison, like, the Naruto creator worked so hard the entire time, but he burnt out. Like, Naruto is done by his assistant now. He doesn't draw it at all anymore.
Yeah, no, there's something, like, Eiichiro Oda is very unique in this kind of longevity he had. Isn't kind of, like, I think more, like, comparing him to someone like Osamu Tezuka.
Yeah.
Who just, yeah, I mean, and, I mean, he's even more so, because I think, I tried to, like, calculate Tezuka's work once, and I think it ended up, he had to do, like, 20 pages every day for his, like, entire, like, adult life.
God.
But,
there's a reason he died in his 60s.
Yeah,
But, I mean, it's very, and I think that's one thing that's really kind of makes One Piece so great, is it's so consistent, and Oda's always had a hand in it, and it's always been the same story from the beginning. It's not like he had to renew it and like kind of come up with new plots, and it's like he still draws all the basically moving parts, so he draws all the characters and everything, and then he has assistants who do like the backgrounds.
And that's usual for manga. They usually with established manga authors, they will have assistants do a lot of the work, but a lot of the I wouldn't say an important work, but not essential work.
Right.
The characters are usually drawn by the authors themselves. So We're all over the place here, but there's a lot to talk about.
Yes.
And the reason I'm talking about how long the series is because when people learn that One Piece is, as of this date, 88 tankobon volumes, those are like paperback size manga volumes, you see that's how they're sold almost everywhere. And the anime series, which started in 1999, I think it just hit episode 800. It just rolled over 800. And you look at that and you're like, I'm not even going to touch that, because
to mention movies and OVAs.
And chapter wise, it's 905, I think, just came out.
Yeah, so it's a lot of work.
It's 20 years of work.
But again, it's what one guy has done every week for 22 years. And I totally agree with you. I don't start a lot of things because of their sheer size and the idea that, like, I'll never catch up. But with One Piece, I feel like we're kind of here to let you know it's okay to just start with it. Just start at the beginning and don't worry about how far you'll get, because I think, like, it's just so good from the beginning that you will just go at your own pace and enjoy it.
Yeah, and I think that's an important, just read it, like, take your time with it and enjoy it. And it's, and I think we've both talked about how it's like, even if you get spoiled on stuff, it doesn't seem like, it doesn't like destroy it for you. Still, there's so much built into it and so much character development and like emotional background that when you actually get to those points that were spoiled for you, you don't really care. They're still like super meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I'm in kind of that situation where I was aware of it. I actually reviewed a couple One Piece games, and so I had to, and one of them takes place during the prison break arc with his brother, and so I know how all that ends, and I had to go to Wiki for it, and I'm not going to spoil it on the podcast for folks here, but I don't, now after reading the first volume today, I just really enjoyed it, and I was like, I'm not really worried about what happened, knowing where he ends up, Luffy ends up in about 500 chapters after this the Marine
and
Saga.
Well, and I think one thing about it too is that, like, you know, the plot from the beginning is Luffy wants to become the King of Pirates. And you know that's how it's going to end, right? He's going to live. Oda's not going to like randomly kill him off at some point. He's going to become the King of Pirates, because that's what the story is.
It's a shonen manga where a character proclaims something in the first chapter, and eventually he will work his way to being that. They'll be the greatest basketball player in the world. They're going to be the greatest Pokemon master. They're going to be the greatest kung fu expert.
Ash is still working on that one.
That's been almost 20 years too.
Yeah. And he hasn't gotten any older. So,
but the series is, and Maddie agreed with me, I think this is a good way to break people into it, where, I mean, Maddie said to me, people focus on the pirate thing and it's really not about pirates. Like, the pirate aspect is just a way to get them from place to place. But
It's just like, it's so much more than pirates. And I think Bob described Henry as like X-Men.
Yeah, it's
basically,
it's really like a superhero comic almost.
Yeah, and it could, because you have this kind of world where there's these fruits that kind of give people all these different kinds of powers, and there's like kind of these elemental powers, or these other ones, or there's ones that can like turn you into animals. And so, you know, you just have that as your basis, and it's such a kind of general idea that it can, it just gets expanded in really crazy ways.
Yeah, the framework he uses is just an amazing sandbox for different ideas in which, again, like every superhero origin is stupid. It's no stupider than eating a fruit. So get that out of your head. But I will say, like,
it's way more normal than eating a fruit.
You seek out that fruit and then you eat it. But like all of the fruits in the series, like they're mainly you know, the villains are usually the ones that are the ones who have eaten them. But that leads to like very interesting battles and very interesting powers. They're all very unique. What all of the powers do. I mean, Luffy, the main character, he ate the gum fruit, which is why he's stretchy. He's sort of like Plastic Man. But then you get people that can break apart, people that can grow their arms on anything. Like, they're all very specific.
Yeah. And there's like, I mean, I could get really into this because there's like three categories. There's Paramecia, which is like kind of generic ones. There's Logia, which are like elemental. So that's like Crocodile has like sand power or like the fire or whatever, you know, these kind of powers. And then there are the Zoan, which are ones that you transform into animal. And also like one of the animal characters ate it for like a human version of it. So it's...
Yeah, and
who's the giant headed person who dresses like Dr. Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture?
That's Ivankov.
Okay.
He's great. Like, Bob's not even at that point.
I'm not
yet.
At that point yet. Henry's even further away than me.
I played him in the game and I was like, this guy is wild.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. And that's like a whole kind of part of, you know, and it's kind of one of those things where people might see it the wrong way or think it might be offensive because there are like this whole, it's a queendom of Okama or like, you know, kind of transvestites is maybe the more literal translation. But generally, I think people tend to feel because Oda makes really good, strong characters that they aren't offensive like they might have come out. And of course, you know, it's coming out of Japan, so they kind of have a different view on these things. But generally, I think people are fairly happy with the portrayal just because, like I said, they're really strong characters and interesting. And he uses it. There's some humor in it, but it's like the characters are so much more developed than that.
I love the art style, and this is from me playing the game too, but how specific and unique every character is.
Oh, and which game were you talking about? Pirate Warrior 3?
This was Burning Blood.
Oh, yeah. Burning Blood.
And in that, there's so many different characters. They all have such different faces. And I'm like, they're so specifically designed. You know, if you're used to like the Toriyama face of Dragon Ball, this is very different.
And I will say, in terms of the manga, which I think you should start with, like, Oda is, like, again, he's, like, a prodigy. He started when he was 22, but it's hard for me to read, like, American action comics now because of how well, and I think manga in general does a better job at this. I know I'm making a broad generalization. I'm sorry. But his fights are so well done. It's like they're moving. He is so good at, mimicking action with still images. And I've never seen another artist do it as well as him. And that's why the fights are so fun to watch or to read.
Yeah, definitely. I think Oda is different than some other ones because he's a lot more liberal with his line work and with curving stuff and with exaggerating, and it's a lot more, I think, cartoony than some other anime series, which are a little more rigid. And he's just kind of all over the place, and he does these really crazy expressions, and which is one of the reasons I love it so much. It's just it's super cartoony, and he's just not afraid to just kind of do whatever. And again, with the characters too, is it's like he's done such a good job of creating this world that it's like he'll, you know, some characters are just like 10 feet tall and he doesn't have to explain it because it's just like that's how this world is. Some are 10 feet tall. Some are 25 feet tall. Some are, you know, 5 inches tall. And he doesn't have to like give this whole thing about it. It's just like, well, yeah, they're just part of this world.
Yes. And again, there's a lot to cover in 22 years of One Piece. We're just trying to hit the generalities to get you interested or maybe to remind you of why you like it. But the I've been watching Dragon Ball Z, and that's sort of the model for what One Piece is, in which there are arcs where there's like one main villain and there are like hench villains. And then once you fight the hench villains, then you fight the main villain. And I think Oda, as much as I love Dragon Ball, I think Oda does it a little bit better because one of the major things that interested me about the fights in One Piece, and it is a fighting manga and fighting anime series, is that in Dragon Ball, they fight in like blasted chasms and mountains are just exploding and they're just in wastelands. In One Piece, the arenas they fight in are as important as anything else in the fight. And it's interesting to see because One Piece is like a globe-trotting series. It's like, okay, they're in this world. What are the rules? What's the mobility? Where are all the characters in relation to each other? And he makes it very easy to follow. And he's really into world building. in a way that does not seem like the characters are just telling the reader what's going on. Like, I love the world building, and I love how that eventually leads to very good fights in the series.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It is the world building and the characters, I think, is just one of the greatest things about it. And how you're basically, I mean, it's neat because I don't know if there's many other series where you really get to explore this entire world that was created. And you start at one point and you're going with Luffy and all his crewmates and you're just following him as he discovers all these new places and you're there with him experiencing all these for the first time.
I also, the rules really is something I caught in the first book where, like, from the beginning, they're like, Luffy can't swim. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, and that will always be a restriction on his character. Like, you'll never learn how to swim.
Yeah.
And so That's something I like, that kind of challenge as a creator that he put on himself, Oda did, to be like, well, he can never swim. I'm going to do a story where the main character sails on a boat the entire time and he can't swim.
Yeah. And that's the same for anyone who ate the devil fruit. So whenever one of them falls in the water, you're like, oh shit. Yeah. I hope someone went after them.
So the devil's fruit makes you really, will make you a really strong pirate, except with the worst weakness that a pirate could ever have.
The ocean hates you because you ate the devil fruit.
I also love about what I read in the first volume, what really made it click for me was the opening story with Luffy. And the pirate he looks up to loses his arm.
Shanks.
Yeah. I love that, but then when he first meets he meets some one-off pirate, but then he meets the Marines and the Navy, and they're like, oh wait, no, the military can be evil in this world.
Yes.
It's really funny. There's like a point later in the series where it's like the townspeople are like talking about, you know, the Marines and how they protect them and stuff. And then like, I don't know if it's Luffy or it's one of their pirates. And it's like, oh yeah, we're like the bad guys. It's like they forget.
It is great. And I will say, like, there's so much going on in the series in that what I like about the arcs is that they're not just, we must fight this villain or else all is lost. They're tied to characters most of the time. And that gives it a very good emotional payoff. Like, we were talking about one of the characters, Nami, who is sort of the I think the main characters in the show, the first characters, are sort of like, they're all from Lupin the Third in a way. They're all like Lupin the Third archetypes. Like, Sanji is obviously Musashi, Zoro's Musashi, Sanji is Jigen, and Luffy is Lupin, and Nami is Fujiko. They're sort of those caricatures. But like we were talking about one of the stories, so Arlong Park is an arc, and that's all about Nami's backstory. And we were talking about it last night, and I was a few beers in, but I couldn't even finish talking about it. It's like, it's so sad. It's so sad. What happens?
He almost started crying in the middle of the bar.
But I cried while reading the manga, and I cried more while watching the anime, because it's so powerful, and it's so great. And it's about these goofy characters, but shit gets real. It gets silly, and it gets real, and he's good at shifting between those tones,
I think. That's definitely one thing that turns people off at first, or ones that people who haven't ever gotten in this series, they're like, oh, you know, it looks really childish or something. And it's, and of course it is very silly, but it's also a really, you know, well-written adventure. And again, it has these really strong emotional story to it as well. So,
yeah. And the problem was, so One Piece is not that big here. It has enough of a niche to, thrive. And I'm sure like hundreds of thousands of people read it, but it never reached Dragon Ball levels of popularity in Japan, because its tone is a little sillier. Mm-hmm. The powers are sillier. I mean, Dragon Ball is by a comedy author, but he realized the money was in serious fights.
Well, and it was DBZ that got big here, not Dragon Ball.
Right.
And when Dragon Ball got localized, they did try it once as regular Dragon Ball and not starting at Z.
Yeah.
And it just didn't take because it was too weird. And also, the part of the spirit of Dragon Ball is seeing Goku's penis.
Yes.
But you can't put they're not going to do that.
Yeah. So, well, and it's funny too, because of course too, a lot of Toriyama's humor is like poop jokes.
Yes.
And, which I think nowadays people are into, like with the poop emoji and stuff. Like, it's cool here now, but back in the 90s it was like, poop jokes weren't like funny.
No one knew what that little swirl was.
Right.
Now we all know what it is. It was played by Patrick Stewart in a movie.
I guess One Piece doesn't fall as easily into that. Like Naruto did. Like Naruto looks more serious, and it's also, it hit in America too at the time, just like, well, it's Ninja Harry Potter, and you're like, boom, got it. I'm going to read this. Like,
but One Piece is harder to explain in such simple terms.
Yeah,
I guess.
And again, I think it does kind of take, because it has that emotional level, it takes a while to build it before you kind of get payoff from that. But
yeah, I mean, the first real villain is a clown, and he's not right, and he's a total goofball. But it's not until you get to, again, there's more serious arcs, like Sanji's arc is pretty serious, and
but it's like kind Usopp, of a lot in the backstory. But the first you get like a really and just like kind of the connection between all the pirates, and then you start feeling this kind of camaraderie, and it all really works.
Yeah, and unfortunately this show had a bad start in America. The anime version of it, so 4Kids, obviously they got their hands on some anime and they were like, let's show this anime to people, it's really popular. And One Piece was, I mean, it's still huge now, but in the early 2000s, like, man, we need to do something with this, bring it to America. And they sort of gave it the Dragon Ball Z original treatment, where it's like, okay, so this show is too violent to be marketed to kids, and it's also too goofy to be an adult show, so we're gonna just censor the shit out of it in horrible ways and make it our own thing. And I'm gonna play the English language opening, and it's horribly embarrassing, but this could be how a lot of you experience One Piece for the first time. I had seen it subtitled before this, but when I saw this on Fox Kids, I'm like, oh my god, no one should be seeing it in this form, and it's bad.
A man named Gold Roger, who was king of the pirates. He had fame, power, and wealth beyond your wildest dreams. Before they hung him from the gallows, these were the final words he said.
My fortune is yours for the taking, but you'll have to find it.
That's pretty faithful so far.
I left everything I own in one piece.
Ever since, pirates from all over the world set sail for the Grand Line, searching for One Piece, the treasure that would make their dreams come true.
Yo!
There we go.
Don't give it up, Luffy. Don't give it up, Zoro. Don't give it up, Nami.
How the story goes, we find out about a treasure in the Grand Line, there's no doubt. The pirate whose eye is on it, he'll sing, I'll be king of the pirates, I'm gonna be king.
Gigo, 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 oh, his name is Luffy.
That's Monkey D. Luffy.
Gonna be king of the pirates. He's made of rubber.
How did that happen?
Yo, ho, ho, he took a bite of gum gum.
That's enough. It's interesting in the beginning where it's like, this is Gold Roger and he was hung from the gallows, which I'm surprised they even mentioned that in the beginning.
I know,
it's
definitely.
Threw him a fun party and then he went away.
Because some of the like later parts, like there is a character who is like she was killed in the manga in the original series, and then they like had her like put in prison in the 4Kids version, but then it's like after, at the end they just kind of leave, and it's like, well, isn't she still in prison then?
That's weird. Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of I won't say there's a lot of death in the series, but there's a lot of violence.
Yeah,
it's not excessive, but it's
a lot of blood.
Yeah.
I think another problem with that is that they. In that case, you really should just change all the names too, because the names are too weird also, but they have a rule probably of like, you can change some stuff, but these characters are always named this.
So one thing too is there's a lot of smoking in it, and there's two great censorship of the smoking. There's Sanji, who was given a lollipop instead, so they like redrew over the frames to give him a lollipop. Ugh. But then another one is Smoker, who turned his body into smoke, and he smokes two cigars, so they just like edited out the cigars, so he's just like, he has just this weird like steam coming from his mouth all the time, and then they renamed him Chaser.
I didn't even think what they would do with Smoker. He always has two big cigars on either side of his mouth, just like constantly smoking. But man,
but the 4Kids went like all the way up through the Alabasta arc, which is like, I think they cut out Drum Island and like a bunch of stuff, but that's like 40-50 episodes.
It was probably a few years of One Piece.
Yeah,
but
they got pretty far.
If you saw it like that, you did not see the actual show.
Right, yeah,
and
it's not even close.
Ultimately, I believe Funimation got the rights, and a few years after that, I believe the manga started coming out too, and that was not edited, but eventually Funimation got the rights to it. They're releasing DVDs, and now it's all on Funimation and Crunchyroll. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very easy to access all 800 episodes of One Piece. Mm-hmm. The manga is very easy. Physical and digital. Henry just got the big like East Blue arc treasure chest of manga.
The first 23 volumes, it was $80 on Amazon.
Yeah, but
what a deal.
太陽が心の方を揺らせば新しい世界への扉を開く合図波間に揺れてる絶望を抜けて
Now the I have another One Piece game story, which is one of the times I was in Tokyo for Tokyo Game Show, went to Namco Bandai's building to demo games, and one of them was a One Piece game. It was a One Piece game that was on the 3DS that was like an RPG, and it seemed pretty neat. It was the first, the first major arc, or maybe the first couple major arcs as an RPG, and the developer, the director of the game was like, can I ask you guys something? How popular is One Piece there? And I had to tell him, like, well, I mean, Americans have definitely heard of it. It's just not as big as, like, Dragon Ball or Naruto.
Yeah, it's funny in that if you showed American Goku, the under 40, they would know who he was. But most Americans would not know who Monkey D. Luffy is. But it's the, I mean, Japan did not forget about Dragon Ball. I went to the Shonen Jump exhibit at the Mori Museum in Japan recently. And Dragon Ball is like, hey, it's Dragon Ball. It's the main attraction because One Piece has its own thing in Tokyo Tower. It has its own entire, like, universe you can go to. But One Piece, again, it's now run twice as long as Dragon Ball. It has been in the public consciousness for 20 years. Kids who grew up with it are now adults. It's still hugely, hugely popular. If you look, go to Anime News Network and look at the weekly ratings, it's always in the top three, and it's usually number one. Like, it is unstoppable.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, at this point, it's almost like ingrained into their culture.
Yeah, it's sort of like almost like a Dragon Quest-style phenomenon, and probably has surpassed Dragon Quest in terms of just sheer, like, cultural, like, touchstone-ness.
Yeah, well, he's, like, it's, like, one of the best-selling books of all time. Like, yeah. Like just book in general.
Of a book.
Yeah, not comic, not manga, just book.
Take that, the Bible.
No, it's, Aiden, I really gotta give it to Oda being so prolific. Like, there are, that kind of run doesn't happen in American independent comics even, except in very rare cases like Cerebus did, and that's only because he did it monthly, 300 issues, one a month.
And then he went insane.
And he also lost his mind. He lost his mind 200 issues in.
Yeah.
And Oda, say, like, there's a really great Super Eye Patch Wolf friend of the show. He did a great video on why you should read/watch One Piece, and a huge part of it is just that how Oda has not run out of steam. He talks about how, like, the creator of Bleach totally ran out of steam, burnt out, became a crappy a comic. Oda has been doing it twice as long as Bleach ran, more than twice as long, and he hasn't lost steam at all. And he talks about how, like, the story builds for such a long time that a one-off character will then come back, like, 400 chapters later, and they're like, oh, here, now he's a major character in it.
Yeah, there's something, and there's a lot of planning too. Like, there's some stuff you can tell Oda thought up later, but there's some stuff where it's like, if you go back and reread it after reading the whole series, you'll notice things that there'll be small things that he put in, and then you're like, how did he plan this so far in advance? Because it won't pay off. Like, I mean, like 12 years, like, waiting for something he did to pay off. Which is just, I mean, a testament to how amazing the series is.
I really like that he never really kills villains. You don't know if they're dead or not. And then most manga chapters open with, like, a little splash image. Like, it's usually like a fun illustration. But a lot of the ones in One Piece are, let's follow this villain after their defeat and see what they do. And over the course of 31 panel comics, you see them, like, be rehabilitated or find something new in their life.
Cool. And it's also neat too, because, like, the anime sometimes will take those and turn them into the filler arcs, which is a great, you know, a great way to get filler out of actual content.
Yeah, it's still source material. So I did want to talk about my crazy Japan trip. It was amazing. I went for an entire week, thanks to all my friends and James Eldred to put me up. He's amazing. But I did go to the One Piece Tokyo Tower, is what it's called. So let's just call it that. Because of Maddie, she told me, I was by myself one day, like, what do I do? And she's one of the first people who told me, go to the One Piece thing. I was like, I think I will. And it was funny because upon going there, I didn't know Tokyo Tower was like a giant thing you go inside and there's stuff in there. I thought it was like an attraction and maybe there's a sky deck and you look out of it, but no, it's basically there's like a mall in there, kind of.
Wow.
And
I've never been to Tokyo Tower either.
It's pretty crazy. And the One Piece park is four floors of it, or maybe possibly three. I think it's three, but there's so much going on in there. And I thought I was going to be the only adult there, or the only adult there, like, just not with a kid. But everyone there was my age, and I only saw like three actual children there. So if you're an adult and you want to go there, check it out. But again, that just shows you the popularity of One Piece, that it takes up most of Tokyo Tower, one of the biggest landmarks in Tokyo, an entire like museum and park and attraction thing dedicated to this one series. It's that just shows you just how important it is to Japan. Really interesting.
Well, and how much merch did you see around there? Because every time I've been to Tokyo, I've seen fads come and go of like, oh, this series was popular this year, but then I come back a year later and they're not selling stuff of it. But there's always a ton of One Piece merch everywhere.
Yeah, it's never you'll see it everywhere. I mean,
well, and they definitely do more permanent features, because of course Japan has a lot of the cafes where they'll do like a themed cafe for anniversaries or for special things, and they'll be there for a few months or whatever. But One Piece has a lot of just like, you know, permanent locations that are always there. And then like Universal Studios every summer has like a One Piece show. So it's just like, it's always there.
Yeah. And the park, I can talk a little bit more about that. Again, this will not mean a lot to you if you don't know One Piece that well, but it is, I would say it's fairly small in terms of amusement parks. It's in a tower, so they only have so much room to work with, but they do a good job of, it's just like, here are the things you would like to see from the show in real life. So they have a lot of, in sort of the gift shop areas and sort of the lobby areas, they have a lot of the characters made in full size models, like, you know, I don't know what they're made of, but
they look even more wild in full size replica states.
But they're so well done to transfer those 2D designs into 3D. They did a great job of that. So those things are everywhere. There are things like, let's walk through the One Piece ship, and there's a bunch of different rooms where you can go into the characters' like closets. And there's this is also very funny. One of the attractions is you go into the room with the shower, and you can peep in the shower. But when you peep, a character like electrocutes you. But I thought it was funny in that peeping is a very stock joke in Japanese stuff. But I thought it was funny. When I saw it, I was like, oh boy, this is a park for kids. And then like the women were like looking in the hole and giggling. I'm like, oh, everyone likes peeping. It's fine. They're in on the joke too. Because the joke is like, if you peep, they yell at you. You know, it's like you're being punished for peeping, but it's also part of the exhibit.
That's so funny.
The character Brooke, who is the skeleton guy, he's got like a haunted house where it's not really a haunted house. It's not scary. Nami has like a gambling game. Again, it's for kids, so you can gamble. There's sort of a version of skee ball there. Lots of little like sort of carnival style attractions, but it's all dressed up with One Piece. And of course, they're what I call the Hall of Spoilers, where don't go down it if you haven't watched the series. But it's basically sort of a fun house where it's all a lot of like winding turns, because they don't have a lot of room to work with in Tokyo Tower. But you see like full dioramas of important moments from the show. So you see the first thing you see is Shanks putting the hat on Luffy, a full like model of that. And if you go to my Instagram, I'm Real Bob Servo on Instagram. You can find a lot of the pictures there. But a lot of the more spoiler-heavy moments of the show are represented there. But it's still fun to watch. And at the end of that exhibit, you can watch a short that you can only see in Tokyo Tower. And it's like this crazy aspect ratio where it like wraps around the room. And that was fun, too. And there are special effects. And the coolest thing I saw there was the One Piece live show, which is seeing is believing, folks. When I I told everyone in Japan about this, and they did not seem impressed when I was like, the One Piece live show, because if you're an American and you think live show, you think of some guy dressed up as Indiana Jones and like smoke bombs and like bad stunt work. But this was incredible. So what the live show was performers dressed impeccably like the One Piece characters, acting out a story, I believe, written by the author. They looked perfect. They looked exactly like the characters, down to like every last thread. Also, these people were in the best shape I'd seen anyone in my entire life. I was like, holy shit, you got people to look like those drawings.
Bodies of all the characters.
They must spend like 10 hours of the day training or something, because Jesus Christ. But what the show is, and this surprised people, it is these actors performing to a pre-existing dialogue track and sound effects track and music track. So they have to know everything, or else the entire show is ruined.
Whoa. So did they? Is it the original voice actors?
It is.
Know?
Yeah.
Okay,
so it's the character. It's the actors miming everything, and they did such a great job. But what impressed me was that a lot of this was like traditional Japanese like theater and traditional Japanese puppetry. All the special effects were that. So
I prefer no theater.
Oh, come on, we're not doing Mystery Science Theater right now.
I had to get one on one podcast.
It's okay. I am monologuing, so it's okay. But like the villain was a guy who like Buggy and the series could break apart, and a lot of that was done through like people dressed in like all black and playing the hands and stuff.
Awesome. Oh, cool.
And a lot of special effects were these like sort of screens being wheeled out and special effects being like projected on them.
Man.
So there was fighting, there was singing, there was dancing, and everything went perfectly. All the performers, I hope they're paid well, because what they are asked to do for those 20 minutes is they have to know everything.
Yeah.
And like, it's sort of like even when characters are like two characters are talking, other characters are doing things on the stage and interacting with each other, like pantomiming and stuff. So
I've seen videos of live shows like that for Sentai shows, but I do think the performers get a bit more cover because, one, they're wearing a full face mask so they don't have to lip sync, and two, their bodies are covered because they can be in real good shape, but they don't have to be showing off their abs all the time like the Luffy.
Yeah, like Luffy full abs and everything. Nami's wearing a bikini. It's just they have to be confident. Their entire bodies are on display. If you have a chance to go, this part was not subtitled. The short I saw was, I had no idea what was happening. I mean, I had some idea. They were fighting a villain. They were singing a song. But it was worth going just for the special effects, just for the performers. Like, I was seriously amazed. You pay extra to see that live show, and they do like 3 or 4 a day. I can't believe these people. Like, I'm going to find out, like, how much should they get paid? Make sure they get paid more, because I was so impressed by them. But
it's cool that short got subtitled too, because sometimes unless I was at like Disney or Tokyo Disney Sea, you wouldn't get subtitles on things there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you were saying, Bob, that it was pretty, as you were by yourself and as someone who doesn't speak Japanese, it was pretty like friendly to tourists.
Yeah. There were lots of English signage, and like, and going through a lot of the attractions, it would have the Japanese explanation and then the English explanation, and the English was pretty good. I'm not gonna it wasn't like perfect, but it also wasn't like, I'll take a picture of this because it's funny,
right?
You know, and like a lot of Japanese stuff, it was like, you can take a picture of this thing, but don't take a picture of that thing. And at first I was worried, like, I'm gonna follow the rules, but then I saw everybody else taking pictures of everything, and I was like, well, they're Japanese, so I think it's okay for me to do this too.
I did the same thing at the Ghibli Museum. They had very strict rules on not taking pictures, but then after I saw a few like Japanese tourists taking pics, I was like, I'm gonna do this too. Like, this at least this glass stained picture of Kiki's Delivery Service, this makes me cry. I'm gonna take a picture.
Who's gonna stop this giant man from taking a picture?
No, nobody.
But yeah, that was great. And again, it just showed you just the cultural importance of that series. And it was also really funny where I got to the museum, and the first thing you go through is the gift shop, and I was like, wow, this is a lot of One Piece stuff. And I do the entire park. I spent about 4 hours there. There's a lot of great original panels on display of Oda's work, and that was great to look at that up close and see all the brushwork and all the tiny like lines that went to everything and everything like that. I get through the park, I exit the tower, I was like, wow, that was a lot of One Piece stuff. I go down the escalator, look to my right, it's an even bigger One Piece gift shop. Like, it is huge. And I go into it, and I'm in that for half an hour because it has, I swear to God, like every current piece of One Piece merchandise, like every sticker, every cell phone keychain, every figure, every model, any shirt you want, all the gachapon machines. It was just like, if you want to get One Piece stuff, bring several thousand dollars. And I'm wearing my Sanji Tokyo Tower t-shirt, only $38 a steal. Go there with all your money and you'll find it all there. But that's my One Piece story about the Tokyo Tower exhibit. And thank you, Maddie, for telling me about it. I had a great time.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad it worked out.
And
Any food there?
Yes, they did. They had, it was not as elaborate as I thought. The character Frankie, who I don't know anything about, it's his cafe, but it's just like Frankie's corn dog, Frankie's iced tea.
I think the Universal Studios is where they have an actual restaurant.
Okay,
but again, it's like seasonal, so it's only in the summer. But then, like, Sanji has like his own restaurant, like at Universal Studios. So I think more of your kind of One Piece dining experience, and if you want one.
I think I've seen some of the Sanji stuff with like there's like food with like little swords in them or something.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and they've, I mean, they've had like, you know, because it's been so long, they've had like multiple things. So they used to have like a Baratier, which was Sanji's restaurant in the beginning of the series, and they had like one of those, and then that I think closed down, and so then they like have this one now. And they've also like, I mean, there's just been like so much different One Piece stuff over the years, and they've done like, they've made full like scale working boat replicas of the actual ships that, you know, you could go on and walk around.
That
and,
sounds
like,
great.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's again, it's been 20 years of really intense love for the series, so there's just so much stuff.
I was impressed. Like, I don't think anyone likes anything in America enough to do that. Even like Simpsons World, based on what I saw of it, I was like, well, The Simpsons is not as big as One Piece is to have this much devotion to it.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything, like maybe Harry Potter.
Perhaps, yeah. Actually, I haven't been to the Harry Potter park because I know nothing about it, and Henry can probably speak to it more than I can.
Yeah, no, I mean, Diagon Alley and Hogwarts are quite elaborate at Universal Orlando. That's one I've seen. Those are very good, but those are constant attractions. They're not built in things to celebrate it, and also that's like Americans taking a British thing, honestly. So
And of course too, as well, it's you know, Harry Potter was definitely really big for however many years like the books and the movies were coming out, and now it's like you still have kind of like the later editions that they're doing, but it's like it's not, you know, nearly as big as it used to be. And I think One Piece has really kind of this constant popularity.
It's same with like, say, Star Wars is a good comparison, but it didn't have a consistent popularity or consistent release. There were decades of not having
it. It has that ebb and flow.
A contemporary of the late 90s with One Piece would be like X-Files or The Matrix or I mean, those two alone, like, those were huge in 1997 as well, but now they're kind of, they come and go. Like, it doesn't have, and the Marvel movies that are big now, like, they are that big, but you wouldn't see a, I don't know, it's not the same.
Well, and of course, and it's just, you know, it's just movies, right? Obviously, they're based on comics and stuff, but you don't have this, like, consistent release that you're going to rely on. Because I don't know how much longer One Piece is going to go on. It could probably go on for, like, another 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, it's that consistency that, you know, it's hard to compare that with anything else.
He's only in his early 40s after doing 20 years of One Piece.
That's amazing.
But no,
I could see myself reading this whole thing. I've really enjoyed the first volume. I like knowing that there's hundreds in front of me. And I do want to read it, not watch it, because I am aware there are some filler arcs in the show.
It also slows down a lot. Like, it's pretty good at the beginning, but then it starts getting slower and slower. I definitely recommend reading it. But there's also, like, if you don't want to, you know, dedicate that much time, they are starting to kind of do these specials, which will cover, like, something like 50 episodes at a time. So they, like, have one that came out, you know, within the past few years. That's like the East Blue. So it covers like the first like 10 or so volumes of the manga, and it's just like an hour and a half. Okay. And then they have like one of the movies covered another arc. They're coming out with another special episode. So there are kind of ways to like look at it in a more condensed version if you're not like ready to dedicate yourself to it.
I will say that I know it slows down a lot later, but in the early years it's very well paced and the animation is better than you would expect it to be. And,
and again, that's something that kind of, you know, because the manga is very consistent because, you know, it's Oda the whole time working on it. The anime has gone through a lot of different directors. Again, it's like, it's not as regular, but it's still really good. Mm-hmm. You know, the voice cast is amazing. It's definitely still a really enjoyable experience. And it's also 800 episodes, so it's...
And just like Goku, Luffy is played by a middle-aged lady, mm-hmm. and with a very similar voice.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she is great. I mean, that's basically our One Piece special, I guess, unless Maddie has anything to add. I just... I liked falling back into it. I started with it like in the early 2000s and I fell off, and only in recent years did I jump back on, and I'm glad I'm sticking with it now just because I'm rediscovering how great it is. And I love it's very unique in terms of like any kind of entertainment I can think of outside of maybe novels, in which it's one author telling one story over decades now, and it's not gotten less popular. I've not heard anyone say, oh, it's bad now, or it was good 10 years ago. And it kind of reminds me of another comic I used to like a lot, which was Jeff Smith's comic Bone, which was a black and white comic by one author. It was an epic story told over the course of a decade, but Jeff Smith is made of meat, and his he had eye problems for a while, and the comic went on hiatus, and then he had to end it because it was kind of killing him. So, but it was a similar story, and I liked it because it was such a singular vision. It was one guy and his story and his idea, not edited or filtered or anything like that. And One Piece, I mean, he has editors that tell him, like, this is a bad idea, do this, do that, but this is still, like, his vision from the beginning, and that's very hard to find in comics and TV and film and almost any medium outside of novels.
I was just gonna say it's obviously my favorite series, and I could gush about it all day long, but it is one thing that's really special about it is that continuity, and it has arcs within it, but they're all within the bigger arc, which is Luffy going to be Pirate King, and everything that happens is leading up to that. And you can, especially as you read more and more of it, you can see that progressing, and it's so unique because, you know, I love Dragon Ball, and definitely earlier Dragon Ball, it has more of that kind of story to it. Let's look at the Dragon Balls. But then later arcs are very self-contained. And so it's like, you know, you can just, if you just want, you know, you can just watch the Cell Saga, and you don't need to really watch anything before or after because it's so self-contained. Here's the villain, you know, here's the story, there's the end. So I think, yeah, that's what makes One Piece really unique. And that's one thing that's hard when people kind of have asked me, it's like, oh, like, can I just, like, skip this or, like, start here? And it's like, no, just read the whole thing. It's worth it.
There's so much of it. You can start now, and just that could be your reading material for the year.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing because the story just is an ongoing thing, and there's continuity, and payoffs happen all the time.
Yeah. And again, as Henry mentioned, there are these really excellent box sets of the manga you can get. There's three of them now, which is about three quarters of the current series they have, and it's 23 volumes, and they're usually like under 100 bucks a piece, which is like you're getting volumes for like somewhere like $3 or $4 each.
You're getting over 20 books.
Yeah,
for
it's a yeah. really great deal. Those are up on Amazon, so if you want to kind of launch into the series, it's a good way to start.
Yeah, and I buy it digitally just I don't like to keep a lot of books around, but it's like $7 a volume on the Viz app I use, and I'm sure it goes on sale for $5 a lot on different places like Comixology, and so yeah, that's a good place to get it too. But yeah, thank you, Maddie, for being on this. You added so much to our One Piece discussion because you know it. I mean, I consider myself a fan, but I've only made it to like 2003 in the One Piece chronology. You're living in the present. I'm living in the past. But I do want you to tell people. So Maddie, she does our great art for Talking Futurama and What a Cartoon. We'll have her back for more stuff like that. But Maddie has a Patreon, and it's amazing. I'm a patron. Maddie, tell everybody about your Patreon, your Twitter.
Yeah, you can find me at patreon.com/ohthatsraspberry. That's O-H, that's raspberry. For $5 a month, you get an exclusive postcard in the mail, and it rotates between anime, video games, and manga. So far, we've had Ace Attorney and Fooly Cooly and Futurama. You can also vote on the next theme for the month, and then for $10, you can also get like a doodle from me on the back. You can also find me on Twitter as twitter.com/O, that's raspberry. And if you're into One Piece, that's a good place to follow me because I'm posting One Piece stuff all the time, especially if you're caught up. If you're not, you might kind of want to avoid me because I do post spoilers. But I do every Monday with the official Shonen Jump release. I'm always talking about it and
that's
posting
true.
Drawings and stuff.
I've not been spoiled yet because it's all out of context for me.
Yeah,
all
and
of
it's
it.
Usually just me like kind of drawing things that are happening or drawing like things that I think will happen or whatever. But yeah, and also on my Twitter, there's my pinned tweet has like all my information. So I have like a Ko-fi that you can donate to me. I have like a store that has like One Piece and Simpsons and a bunch of other merchandise in it. So yeah, that's about it for me.
And what's your store? How do we get there?
Oh, my store is it's oh that's raspberry oh that's raspberry .ticktail.com.
Cool. Yeah, check out the stickers, the Poochie stickers, one of my favorites. Do you sell the Mo pin still?
I still have the Mo pins, yeah.
Mo doing the barnyard animal. It was a baby ox. yes, so check all that stuff out. Thanks, Maddie, for joining us. Thanks to our patrons for supporting our content. That's why we're able to give you specials like these when I just want to sit down and talk about One Piece after having a fun experience. So yes, thank you so much, and stay tuned for more great podcast stuff.